It's All Things Considered, HPR 1, and I'm Dave Lawrence. This coming Sunday at the Blaisdell Arena, the band Chicago returned to the state. They're heading to Maui on Tuesday, and you may recall a couple years ago when they were here, we had their drummer Tris Imboden as a guest on All Things Considered. They've got a long history here, and we're really fortunate to have original member of the band, trumpeter Lee Lochnane, connecting with him through the time zones right now. Hey, Lee.
We're pretty much separated by 19 hours right now.
Well, I really appreciate you taking a moment. Trumpet, flugelhorn, Chicago, vocalist, songwriter, original member. Take me back to 1967, DePaul University, I guess the setting in so many ways. You guys not just came together, but developed an innovative fusion of rock with horns.
Well, it was just something that Walt, Terry, and Danny were in a band called The Missing Links. And when that band broke up, they wanted to form a new band with horns. And initially, we were going to take it to Vegas. It was going to be like a Vegas show band. And that vision evaporated very quickly because the club owners had started firing us for playing original music. And we either moved forward with our career from that point, or we would have had to figure out each one of us something else to do with our lives. So we have to pinch ourselves every day that we're still this much time later.
Yeah, you do. You've had such a long run. And when I think of the first record and some of those quintessential songs that you're so known for, and you guys were called The Big Thing prior to changing your name, had you basically coalesced with that sound prior to even adopting the name Chicago Transit Authority?
We did. It pretty much happened organically, too, where there was never really any intention of sounding a particular way. We had grown up and had all sorts of musical influences in Chicago, from jazz to classical to rock and roll to blues. When we played together, we just sort of played our instruments with all of those influences just sort of coming through the songs. So it wasn't really anything that was intended.
It must have seemed pretty intense to audiences, huh, and the reaction that you'd get, because literally you were carving out a niche that there was nothing like it.
Yeah, and we didn't even realize it was happening ourselves. Back in the beginning, we played a show in Santa Barbara, and we were billed as a Boss hitbound band. We didn't even have our name on the billboard, and we were the opening act. We played our first song. I think we played I'm a Man. And when we stopped the song, there was actually no reaction. It was like a laughing with one person clapping. And we counted off the second song so fast. I think we played it on 78. We were scared and couldn't wait to get off the stage, but that was really comeuppance for us.
One of the other facets that kind of illustrates the point that we're talking about, the first several records from the band were all double LP sets worth of music.
Yeah.
And by today's standards, I mean, people are scared to put a single out and see if it'll work.
Well, that was happening because we didn't feel constrained. We were allowed to write and record anything that we wanted. And that included horn ensembles, that the horns were as much of a main part of the song as the vocals. So there were sections where the lead vocal would take over, and then the background parts would come in, and then the horns do some sort of ensemble, and then maybe a solo. So they were really pieces of music rather than just songs.
It was a really different approach.
And really the thing that allowed it to occur was the record companies at the time were paying unlimited copyrights. You could write as many songs as you wanted, and that's why the songs became individual sections. Like a horn solo was given its own song title. The Ballet for a Girl in Bikini was a 14-minute piece, and it was split up into, I think, 7 or 8 different titles.
Right.
But all of a sudden, the record companies decided that they were only going to pay on 10 copyrights. That changed the entire music business, because the songwriters then would have had to share anything over 10 copyrights with other writers, and you'd have to decide to take less of a share for your creative work.
And that was per album?
And per album.
10 different copyrights, meaning 10 different copyrighted selections per album, and that was their limit.
Correct. Exactly. Anything over that, you had to share. that changed the business quite a bit. We get blamed for writing songs after that, but that was part of what you had to do to remain in the business.
Think of arrangements. Beginnings is a good example. It says that's Robert Lamb's song. But when you put that song on and you listen to the horns, I mean, is that really just trumpet, trombone, alto?
We may have doubled it. So there might be actually six horns on it.
I get it.
But there is, yes, it's only three horns. The trick to that is to find the proper notes for each chord.
The key thing I just took out of what you're saying is by picking the right note or chord for each one of those horns, when you put them together, by strategically choosing the right one for each horn, it's going to have that huge sound that we're talking about.
Correct. Exactly. Sounds thinner if the alto is too high or the trumpet is too high or the bone is too low.
And also the arrangement of it. Did Robert just come up with the whole horn arrangement in his head like that?
Yeah, he came up with it in his head and sort of sketched it out. And I think Jimmy actually took the sketches and flushed it out. And that's what we played today.
You really did reveal a lot of the sound, I guess. Very simple technique, but it goes a long way, the doubling of those parts.
Exactly.
And as we go to wrap it up, because I know your time is tight, I'm very grateful to get this time with you. You have the Rock Hall induction coming up April of this year. It's been a controversial thing for so many bands. They feel like, why now? Or I mean, there's a lot of different reasons, different bands, different things. It's also seen from the outside as sort of like an insider's club. Yet, on the flip side, for the recognition it provides, for the path that it paves for fans in the future to find out about you, if you can share your personal take of what it means to you.
Well, we had no idea how excited we actually would be because we've been eligible for 25 years. This is the first time we have been nominated. And to see the groundswell of fans come out and vote for us, we had over 37 million votes. So we won the popular vote. I want to thank everyone who voted for us, because I'm sure that influenced everyone else who voted to elect us. And they are inducting the original seven members. And we could say more people should be inducted or not, but we're getting what we're getting, and we're being honored for what we initially did as a group. And it's very cool to have that happen. I'm just going to wait and see what they want from us and accept it, say thank you very much.
You're going to be celebrating people from the very first band, and some of those people, sadly, are not here. I think of Terry. Is it an emotional thing for you, too?
Yeah. In our band, Terry is the only one that won't actually be there because he passed away. But Danny and Peter will most likely be there, and I'm hoping that they'll be as happy to see me as I am to see them. You know, play a couple tunes together, say this has been fun, and move on with our lives again, as we have before. But it's a great honor, and we are all looking forward to it.
It'll be the first time with Peter in a long time, huh?
Yeah, long time. Long time. And I wanted to mention one other thing before you let me go, and that's that we are going to be premiering our documentary. It's called Now More Than Ever, The History of Chicago, at the Sedona International Film Festival on February 20th. So that's another milestone, I guess.
Lee Lochnane, trumpeter, flugelhorn, the band Chicago. Sunday at the Blaisdell Arena, Tuesday at the Mac. And please give Tris a big hug and a high five from me.
I will do that. Thanks a lot, Dave. Aloha. This is Lee Lochnane with Chicago. And you're tuned to my good friend, Dave Lawrence. I'm
got words to say.